Chapter 7. Kip, it's been 4 days. 4 days since our wedding. And we still...
I know, Kip said. He was sitting on their little bed in the captain's quarters. Another dread night was falling, and the back slapping and jokes about being a sneaky little bugger from the captain and the mate and the squad had been endured already. The public torture ended, the private one began.
We don't have to try again right away, Tysis said.
And you wore that because you wanted to wait until tomorrow? Kip asked.
In her initial excitement and ardour at getting married and not to some old guy, Tysis had packed all manner of lace and silk lingerie.
She was wearing a celadon nightgown now that showcased her cleavage and curves. Kip's new wife was one of the most beautiful women he had ever seen, even during the day when she wore baggy men's trousers and a tunic too large for her and no cosmetics. Seeing her like this only made everything more painful.
You know the law, she said.
I didn't until you told me. She pursed her lips. She didn't like it when Kip raised his voice at her.
Fine, then. We wait 3 more days, and it's over. We just have to figure it out from there. I don't think Andros Guile will do anything rash.
No, not rash. His vengeance is anything but rash. She lowered her head, and Kip saw her swallow quickly. She looked at her silk nightgown.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't have worn this, but I didn't want to tell my sister's slaves to bring me something plainer. They'd ask more questions than they already have.
She mimicked the room slave Verity's nasally voice.
Is mistress's lord husband gentle enough? Does mistress have any delicate questions?
It's not supposed to be like this, Kip. What's wrong with me?
Tysis, quieter. Please, Kip said awkwardly.
Remember.
Sound went through the walls of the captain's quarters as if they weren't even there. Maybe that was where their troubles had started. Maybe if she could just relax. And maybe this was the stupidest thing in the world to worry about right now. The world was falling apart, and Kip, who had fought an immortal and stolen the master cloak from him, who was a full-spectrum polychrome, who was maybe, just maybe, the Lightbringer, Kip, who had killed a king and a god and escaped the Chromaria itself with all the Lightguard after him, who had brought along with himself the best and brightest the Blackguard had to offer, Kip, the son of Gavin Guile, couldn't make love. With his own wife, who seemed entirely willing, at least on one level. It was as if her body itself was rejecting Kip. It had all been merely mortifying until Tysis had told him that their wedding contract was automatically revoked if they didn't consummate the marriage within 7 days.
I'm a failure as a woman.
As she stood outside the covers in her barely there nightgown, Tysis's skin was covered in goose flesh. She bears her heart to you and you stare at her nipples. Nice.
Maybe it's not you. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, Kip said, lamely.
Neither of them believed that now. They were really great nipples. She lifted her eyebrows and pulled back the covers he had bunched over his lap. His tunic covered his arousal about as effectively as Tysis's nightgown covered the fact that she had breasts. He bloused the fabric gingerly and cleared his throat.
I'm sorry, she said. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I was just... Your body is doing what it's supposed to, Kip. I'm the problem. I mean, there are jokes about how all a woman has to do is lie there. Easy as falling off a log. Ha!
Kip could tell she was heartbeats away from breaking down. Tears were not going to help their problem.
Tysis, maybe we should slow down. Take it slow down? Kip, we've only got 3 days left.
The law had been passed to protect children from being married off too young by their parents or to prevent marriages of convenience, part of some long-ago fight about taxation or boundaries or testimony compelled by a satrap, Tysis had said.
Tysis, it's freezing out there. Come here. We'll figure this out together.
She puffed out her cheeks and crawled into the narrow bed with him. He threw the covers over her. He'd been thinking she would lie down with her back to him so they could talk and cuddle, but she lay down face to face with him instead. Before he could say anything, she kissed his neck, and all hope of rational conversation dimmed quickly. Kip still hadn't blown out the lamp. But her kisses were perfunctory. She broke away almost as soon as Kip went hazy. She reached for a vial on a shelf. Her expression was determined, not impassioned. She poured olive oil into her hand and tugged his clothes out of the way. Her touch was a shock of pleasure, despite everything, as she spread the oil on him. If she continued for very long, Kip would have lost control. But rather than saying, "I want to make love with you," the expression on her face said, "I will not fail my family." She rubbed the rest of the oil on herself and straddled Kip, hiking up her nightgown just enough to get the work done.
There were no more preambles, no soft words or touches. She held Kip in place and lowered herself onto him.
As before, she was stopped almost immediately. She grimaced and pushed harder, harder until she was hurting both of them. She eased off, adjusting him, making sure he was in the right place. Then she banged down again, wincing each time.
Andros Guile had once used a euphemism, calling a woman's quim the jade gate.
Kip had thought it embarrassing. Of course, talking with your grandfather about lovemaking was bound to be embarrassing regardless, but why did all the euphemisms have to sound either dirty or childish? Now he felt as if he were bringing a battering ram to the jade gate. The gate was winning.
Tisis began crying, tears streaking silently down her cheeks, making her cosmetics run, and still not giving up. She was hurting Kip, and she was definitely hurting herself.
"Tisis, stop! Tisis!" Kip whispered. She didn't listen to him. He grabbed her hips and held her still. "You're hurting me. I can do this," she hissed.
Much as he'd tried to avoid the common areas in the public baths, Kip had been around enough to know that his horn wasn't freakishly huge. It wasn't that. He doubted he could fit his littlest finger inside Tisis. She said it wasn't her hymen, either. She'd broken that when she was young. This was pure muscle, and it was clenched so tight that if he were inside her when she clamped down, he'd be left with a jerky stick.
"Tisis, stop!"
She released her hand's death grip and sat on him, defeated.
"What do we do, Kip?"
Her sitting felt far nicer than anything else she'd done, but perhaps that was just an absence of pain.
"You're beautiful," Kip said, "and I'm lucky to have you."
Her expression softened from its desperate anger. She lay down on him and rested her head on his chest. She tried to speak, but then dissolved in tears. Kip figured it was better than her sleeping with her back to him silently, as she had for the first 3 nights. Maybe it was his own fault. With the shock of the battle and their flight and Goss's death at the Chromeria, and Tremblefist's likely death at the Cannon Tower and Kip's declaration that he wouldn't be going with Tisis to Wrath, they hadn't even tried to make love the first night. The second night, she'd found out that he really did plan to take the Mighty to war instead of going to Wrath with her. She'd been furious with him, and he'd been mortified at the idea of having to strip naked and expose his body and his scars in front of a woman whose beauty would make a goddess cringe. She'd blown out the lamp, handed him the olive oil, and gotten in bed, legs spread, silent, her whole demeanour saying, "Just get it over with, you animal." Despite a lack of personal experience, Kip hadn't been completely clueless, he'd thought. Tisis had gotten spitting mad with his fumbling, finally taking charge herself, and nothing. He'd found nowhere to go when he was on top, not because he was an idiot. He'd found nowhere to go because there was nowhere to go. They'd pretended to sleep, back to back. The crew's jokes the next morning had been unbearable, and that was when Kip had missed his opportunity. He should have confessed to whom? One of the Mighty? None of them had even hinted that something like this was possible. The Randy captain? Ugh. Someone, anyway, that things weren't going well. Or going at all. But how stupid could you look? What kind of mockery did that invite? "I took a beautiful woman to bed, and I didn't know what to do." The third night had been better and worse. Tisis hadn't told any of her slaves either, apparently as ashamed as Kip was. She'd failed her family too many times, she'd said. She wasn't going to fail again. But she decided she wasn't going to take it out on Kip, and then she'd begged his pardon. They'd made some perfunctory moves at kissing and caressing, and tried and failed again. She'd been furious, but not at Kip. "I should have made love with Tyr when I had the chance."
The one thing Kip had thought he'd definitely be getting when he'd agreed to marry Tisis, he was being denied. Maybe he should let the marriage be annulled. But Andros had assigned Kip to this task. He would assume that the failure was a deliberate betrayal. The Chromeria needed Hrothgar bound to it by the Gael-Malagos marriage. This was bigger than Kip, bigger than his frustration. Tisis and her family needed it too, though the Gaels had gotten the better of the bargain. She had been a hostage of the Chromeria, a guarantor of the end of the blood wars between Hrothgar and Blood Forest. She could leave Big Jasper legally after she was married, but leaving before that without permission was a breach of the Articles of Peace, something damn near akin to an act of war. In normal times, the Hrothgari hostage leaving without permission would be a diplomatic gaffe understood between friends. During a war in which the loyalty of Hrothgar was in question, it would be far worse. If Irene Malagos actually was on the brink of siding with the Colour Prince, regaining her beloved sister would give her freedom to join him if she wished it.
If the Chromeria handled the gaffe poorly, though, threatening her, it might actually push her into the Colour Prince's camp.
Annulling their marriage could mean breaking an alliance. Tisis's sobs had quieted, and she shifted as if to get more comfortable to sleep on Kip, which was actually really nice. Way better than frigid silence. But the motion made her leg brush Kip's horn. Great. Here, for a half a moment, he'd nearly forgotten about her. She froze. She sat up. Her makeup had run, and her eyes were puffy, and there was clear snot under her nose.
"I should at least take care of you," she said, her voice gaspy, right on the verge of crying again.
It was not a thought that had occurred to Kip in the last 4 nights. Kip, the lip, was back, already speaking. In the history of the world, there have been 5 great unromantic invitations to romance, but this outshone them all. She pounded a fist on his chest.
"Kip, not funny."
"You're smiling."
"I am not."
But of course she was. Her face was a war of humour and frustration and despair and tears.
"It's either smile or cry, and I hate crying."
"I have an idea," Kip said.
"What?"
"Not a good idea, mind you."
"What is it?"
"All I can promise is that it's a little better than crying."